This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
That's the key, Chris. Doing stuff when the wife doesn't actually ask you to do it. They love that.
So big on
household chores.
Exactly, especially right. When she's busy.
Okay.
Like if she's busy and you're swooping like a Superman kind of guy, early risers will get work. I don't understand. Why does that not go away? And why do we not have one thing where Chris steps on himself? Why?
I mean, in all fairness to Canty, I mean, he did ruin Lorenzo Carter's drafting.
Lorenzo Carter, linebacker, Clemson.
This is DCR.
So have to give me the open.
Good Thursday morning. It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates. It is the Thursday.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Time now for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Chris, I always feel badly for you when I hear that Lorenzo Carter, because I can tell that you don't want to say it. Like, there's that moment pause where you're like, Lorenzo Carter, no, do what you know. It's like you have a battle in your head. Do what you know, Chris, and you do what you're told instead of what you know to be right.
Yeah, you know what happened, Dave.
I can hear it.
I was set up. Before I went out on stage to announce the draft pick, there was a guy standing there, and I'll swear this to my dying day, that said, read the card as it's written. Knowing it was wrong, knowing that Lorenzo Carter went to Georgia, he said, read the card as it's written. And you heard the trepidation in my voice when I went to announce the school. You knew that I knew that this is not where this guy went to school at.
Lorenzo Carter, linebacker, Clemson.
There's that pause, that hesitation. Yeah. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Fine, I'll do it.
Dave, in hindsight, what I should have just done is announced the name and left it at that.
Does that haunt you? Like, do you ever just walk around the apartment like, oh, God, why didn't
no,
you say
it doesn't haunt me because somebody got a hold of the draft card and then put it out there on Twitter, and then some people in the media retweeted it, and they kind of had my back. They knew that I actually knew where Carter went to school at, but I was just doing what I was told by that guy that was backstage who nobody has seen since draft night.
So you think
since
that
actual draft night, nobody's seen this dude.
Swooped in. Sabotaged, vanishes.
Yeah, I mean, they set me up to be a fall guy, man. I don't know why somebody had an axe to grind with Chris Canty and they wanted to embarrass me.
As if you wouldn't know, too. I mean, that's the funny part. Like, as if you wouldn't know. I mean, you do a radio show.
I was on the draft coverage, Rico.
Yes.
That was the only reason I was down there. I was doing the draft for ESPN Radio.
Now, I can understand if it was you announcing me and you made the mistake. You're like, Rick DiPietro, Harvard.
Yeah, he wouldn't have made that mistake. Don't worry. That would have been a non-issue for him. He would have looked at the card and been like, Harvard, please, BU. It said, Rick DiPietro, BU. And he was lucky to get in there.
Stop yourself.
Thank God he has better.
You know I got into Harvard.
Puck handling skills than Keith Kincaid.
Oh, jeez. Islanders were the tough one last night, too.
Ugh. Oh, yeah. Real tough. They would never get to lose one. Enough hockey talk. All right, let's go to Tom in Massapequa. Tom, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
How you doing, guys? Good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
I think Canty's got to stop saying that guy hasn't been seen since.
What's the truth, Tom? What do you want me to tell you?
Like he had some part in it is what I'm saying.
You never know.
I wanted to talk about the last call about 20 minutes ago. I know he kept saying they're not going to make the playoffs. My point is I think he just came across the wrong way. I think we all know that the second half of the schedule is going to be real tough. But we know they got to win a couple of games they're not supposed to, and they've just been so damn close that I think that's where the frustration is, you know? I know it's a weird connection, but it was like when the Jets lost that game to the Raiders, it was like, just lose or stop teasing us. You know, they're so close, you just want to see them get one of these because they're going to have to get a few.
But it's not like the Knicks led by 9 points with 8 seconds yesterday and blew the game. I mean that Jets loss was something.
No timeout though. But yeah, but you're talking about a Jets team that was trying to go winless.
They were not. Stop it. They were not trying. They did not lose that game on purpose.
No, I was hoping. Greg Williams. I'm telling you, had you got the first overall pick, Greg Williams is in the
MVP. Greg Williams would
to
be
win
the
that
MVP
game.
Of the 2020 season.
I'm building him a statue.
100%.
They were trying to win that game.
This is why you don't get rid of Greg Williams. Greg Williams is defensive coordinator. You don't win a game last. He knew exactly what the goal was last season. Get the first overall pick at all costs.
Got red hot at the end of that season.
Changes the franchise. And you go and you beat wins. The Rams.
The Rams win. Browns win. Those are big, beautiful wins for the Jets.
And listen, I get what Mike is saying, right? Like, close games like this, again, no Joel Embiid. You got a 9-point lead going into the fourth quarter. Of course, you would like to close that thing out. Mm. The reality is the Knicks, they're not there yet. They're not. Offensively, they're defensively, they're great. Offensively,
but I understand why you'd be frustrated. I was frustrated with that loss as well last night.
I understand it. But when you look at their schedule, yes, it's daunting. You play a lot of good teams. But there are enough teams that you should beat where as long as you take care of that business.
That's right.
You'll find yourself in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's the focus now.
That's right. And there's no reason this team should not be in the top 10. That's Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Guys, this Deshaun Watson story gets stranger and stranger and stranger. Did you see the post yesterday on social media and the response from Deshaun Watson, Chris?
I did, Dave. And, you know, this is one of those things that's just adding another layer to an already contentious situation that he's got with the Houston Texans. I mean, on top of this, now he's going to have to deal with these allegations of sexual assault and filing a complaint in civil court, and he's got to handle that as well. There's a lot of noise that's going on around Deshaun Watson right now, and it's just, it makes the situation that's tough with the Texans just that much more difficult, because now teams that are interested in Deshaun Watson have to do legwork and do research and find out exactly what's going on with this civil suit.
Now, he did put out a statement. Let me just read the statement from Deshaun. As a result of a social media post by a publicity-seeking plaintiff's lawyer, I recently became aware of a lawsuit that has apparently been filed against me. I have not yet seen the complaint, but I know this. I have never treated any woman with anything other than the utmost respect. The plaintiff's lawyer claims that this isn't about money, but before filing the suit, he made a baseless six-figure settlement demand, which I quickly rejected. Unlike him, this isn't about money for me. It's about clearing my name, and I look forward to doing that. That is from Deshaun Watson in response to this attorney saying that he sexually abused his client.
Yeah, this is getting ugly in a hurry.
And to connect the dots, Rick, did you see where this attorney lives?
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. We were talking about that before the show. I mean, just let people know, because I couldn't, when you guys told me, I couldn't believe it.
He lives next door to the McNairs, I believe. We're in the same little area as the McNair family.
I don't know. I mean, this is, you would think with how much Deshaun Watson doesn't want to be in Houston, I mean, they just signed Tyrod Taylor, that it would be in their best interest. Like, the way to actually rebuild, and I know it would stink to get rid of your best player, would be to trade Deshaun Watson and just move on.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, at this point, with all these teams, you know, filling quarterback needs, which could, again, I mean, if Deshaun Watson comes available, they could, you know what I mean? Like, these teams will be like, okay, thanks for your
Of course,
your
Ryan
time.
Fitzpatrick, we'll you were great here, but we're done with you now, yes.
But, I mean, this seems like it's headed towards, you know, him holding out as opposed to them moving him.
Sure feels like it,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what David Carr said, my former teammate. He was talking about it. He's got people that are close to Deshaun, and he was saying that, you know, Deshaun is dug in. You know, his position is, you know, if he's not going to play, I mean, if the Texans don't trade him, he's not going to play in 2021. And just based on the character and everything we know from Deshaun Watson, I mean, I don't think that's something that's outside of the realm of possibility. So, I mean, right now, if you're the Texans, you know, your position in saying that you're not going to trade Deshaun Watson is cutting your nose off to spite your face, because it's keeping you from being able to move your program forward. And then just beyond that, if Deshaun Watson doesn't play for an entire year because you wouldn't trade him after you told him that he would be involved in the discussions for the general manager, for the head coach, you didn't really value his input in that process, I just don't feel like this is a situation where the Texans are going to be able to recruit free agents and get guys to come down there and play for them after that happens. Like, if Deshaun Watson is held hostage by the Texans for the 2021 season, that franchise is going to have a tough time getting off the mat.
What happens if we find that somehow they were partly involved, responsible at all in what's happening with this attorney and this woman?
Oh, then Calvin Nair's got to sell the team.
He'd have to sell the team,
He's
right?
He's got to sell the team. Yeah.
But, and I heard teammates, and again, you never know, right? I mean, you never know and you don't want to speculate, but teammates came out and just said, there is no chance, no chance that anything happened with Deshaun Watson.
Well, but here's the thing, though. You guys answered the question for me. What would the motivation be? Like, to, I guess the motivation would be to...
To drag his name through the mud?
But for what reason, though? Like, if you do, I mean, you want to keep him, right? Like, that's the ultimate goal, is to, you know, Deshaun, we'll do whatever it takes. Like, we want you to be a Houston Texan. If that's so, So now, I mean, if that's the end game for you.
Yeah, what's the point of making him look bad?
Yeah, now how does this, I mean, he's the face of your franchise. You going to make him look terrible now and drag him through the mud for this? I don't know, man.
The whole thing is strange.
But especially with I heard someone the other day, and I forget who it was, but they asked him about the situation, and I guess he's friendly with Deshaun Watson and his people, and they asked him at what point does Deshaun Watson come out and say what he wants, like when he's going to get and he said once this is done, Deshaun Watson will speak, and the insinuation was like you'll get more information as to why he wanted out of Houston so badly, and I think it's all going to be negative, like.
Well, I'm sure.
All negative stuff.
Well, there's not a lot of positives to go with the Texans and how they've handled him, right?
No.
I mean, so it's just, to me, what happened in the hiring cycle on its face was enough for Deshaun to not want to be a part of that organization. Like, if the owner comes to me and I'm the quarterback and he says, we want your input on the head coaching search and on the general manager search, and then you don't even interview the candidates that he suggested, not
makes
one
no
of
sense.
Them.
Makes no sense.
To me, that's just, I don't even understand what was the motivation to go and include him in the process in the first place.
Like, look, if Deshaun Watson comes to you, Chris, and says, I'd like to have a little say in where we're going to move forward, and you're the ownership, you say, no, listen, you're the quarterback, and we'll let you know when we want
your opinion. Just do what Pete Carroll and John Snyder did in Seattle.
Exactly.
You just decide to do that. Like, no, get out of here.
We got this. We can put a team together. We appreciate what you're saying, and we'll come to you when we want your opinion. But if you go to him and you say, we're going to want your opinion along the way, and then you ignore that and don't run with that. I mean, what kind of a Mickey Mouse operation are you running down there?
And Dave, on top of that, you traded away his number one wide receiver the season before that. Like, I just there's a lot for this Deshaun Watson to be disgruntled about down in Houston, and so now I just feel like they're at an impasse, and this thing is not going to get better until the Texans come to the realization that they're going to have to deal him.
They have to trade him, don't they? Don't they have to trade him?
I don't think they have a choice, Dave. Again, if you don't trade him, how do you move forward as a team? You're going to lean on Tyrod Taylor to be your guy? Like, I mean, I love Tyrod, a former teammate of mine, but he's a limited quarterback. He's not going to make the players around him better. And the Texans, they're going to need somebody eventually that can develop into a player that can do that, because they don't have a lot of talent on that team.
Rick, I'm surprised you're not screaming at me that the clock, we're past when we should be taking a break.
No, I'm like sitting here trying to figure out what the motivation with this entire situation is.
Well, to impugn his integrity, Rico, that's the only thing I could think of if they were to be involved in something like this.
Which would be a disgrace.
I don't know how that benefits them. Themselves. Either way, it doesn't benefit them.
Well, to try to take options for Deshaun Watson off the board. Like, that would be the only way. It doesn't make sense, but a lot of what the Texans have done the last couple of years doesn't make sense, so I wouldn't put anything past them.
They're the worst organization in football right now. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Spend your tax return wisely with Straight Talk Wireless. You can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense. Tune into Straight Talk. Chris, you know the way... with the K Show and Michael, and specifically Michael, it's uncomfortable how he's in love with Rick. Just it's awkward and uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable, David. It's not just the way that Michael feels about Rick. It's the way that Rick feels about Michael.
Right. There's another one. Michael needs to move over on the bus. There's another one.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I have real issues with Mike Tenenbaum right now.
No, we need the extended version of Mike Tenenbaum today. He owes us, doesn't he?
Who knows with him? I thought I knew who he was. I thought he was a tremendous friend of the show. What he did yesterday is going to take me some time.
I'm not over it yet. This better be a good excuse. It better be a great excuse.
You're going to. Here's what's going to happen. He's going to join. I'm going to stay true to be frustrated with him, and you'll cave. You'll be like, oh, all right, Mike, you're back in my good graces.
No, that's not the. I mean, that's not necessarily what's going to happen. It's going to depend on. I mean, how convincing he is.
I'm telling you what he's going to say. He's going to say, I was ready at 7:30. You guys called at 7:33. And I had 8 minutes carved aside for you.
No,
and you guys called too late.
But time out. See, this is where it doesn't work, though. This show is not where, I mean, we have to have certain guests at certain times. Like, sometimes I'll pick up the phone and say, hey, whatever you want. You want to come on at 5:30 if you're up? You want to come on at 6? It doesn't matter. We just want we just want the guest on.
He should have called RJ or texted RJ or you or me or somebody at 7 o'clock and said, hey, guys, get up once me at 7:38. Can I come on with you guys at 7:15?
Exactly.
That would have been the mensch-like thing to do.
We can send out a press release. He could be a co-host like we did with CeCe.
That's right.
And then he never just decides he's never going to do it.
When he's on, he's very good, though.
Oh, he's terrific. I was just thinking about during the break, this whole Deshaun Watson situation.
Mm-hmm.
Could this actually be the opposite of them still wanting to keep him? Could this be like, okay, you know, writing's on the wall for us.
Let's scorch earth before we move on from you?
Exactly right.
Maybe.
Here's your going away present.
But why would you do that with somebody that has the character that Deshaun does?
Because I think part of the reason why he wants out is because the people that run that team don't have any character.
But how does that benefit you? If there's another team out there that thinks that he has any strike against him and it lessens what, you know, it could lessen the trade market value for him, why would you do that?
Well, because I think everyone knows what's going on.
I agree, but I don't understand the end game here.
Well, maybe they feel like they'll never get true value for what Deshaun Watson is worth, so what difference does it make now? Might as well take a shot at him in this way while he's on his way out the door.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
If this is them doing something, then they should. I mean, this would be an egregious mistake, a horrendous, disgusting mistake. All right. We teased it. Michael Kay every day, oh, Rick's so great. I mean, he'll take shots at anybody, but not Rick. And now, yesterday, there's another one. So, Michael Kay, move over, because Mike Greenberg, also in love with Rick.
Larry, you're on ESPN Radio. Larry, what do you want to know?
Do you think analytics need to come to hockey? Do you think that they should expand the goalposts so it could be more high scoring, so it could be a more high scoring game? People will watch it more and get more viewers.
Look, here's what I'll say. I'm not the right person to ask that question to. Analytics apply to all sports equally. And analytics are just math. Math is just a smart way to go about business of any kind. So there is no question analytics are impacting the National Hockey League. I'm not the right person to ask that question to. My buddy Rick DiPietro would know the answer to that question right off the top of his head. Now, he was a goalie. So there's no way in hell he's going to say, yes, make the goal bigger. There's no chance of that.
My buddy, Rick DiPietro.
That's my guy.
My buddy. This is, I love this.
Agreed.
What do you not like? I mean, you just love everyone at ESPN. Everyone loves you. It's kumbaya with you people.
No, I don't love everybody, but I mean, there's select few that I really like. Enjoy spending time with. Greeny's one of those guys.
So if you had to spend an afternoon, lunch, baseball game, full day, would you choose Michael or would you choose Greeny?
Baseball game, I would choose Michael.
Because it's baseball.
Now, let me ask you this question, Rico. Now, you've got a choice between baseball game with the Kayster or playing golf with Greeny for an afternoon.
Beautiful day, too.
Beautiful day.
No humidity.
Unbelievable course.
Yep.
Yeah.
Perfectly sunny.
I don't understand why you guys are asking me to answer these questions.
Yeah. Well, playing Shinnecock with Greeny.
It's a great question.
One afternoon.
Shinnecock is nice. Yeah, but Canty, because now I'm leaving you out, though, too, because I enjoy playing golf
No. This has nothing to do with Chris. He asked you a pointed question. Don't deflect. You choosing golfing with Greeny, baseball game with Kay.
No, it's tough because, I mean, one of my greatest golf achievements was with Chris on my team.
Hey, forget about
but
Chris.
But we're teammates, though, Rico. Like, it's understood. Like, we want to hang out with each other. We want to spend time with each
There's
other.
There's plenty of time
people
for us to hang out.
Aren't on our show unit.
We hang out every day.
Yeah.
We want to put you on the spot, and you're deflecting. And I, for one, will not let you deflect. Are you choosing golf with Greeny? Or are you choosing a baseball game with Kay?
I'm playing golf in the morning with Greeny and then
no.
I'm Kay for the baseball
no.
game in the afternoon.
No.
I'm not going to choose.
You can only do one.
It's embarrassing.
I'm not going to choose.
I'm never answering
to put a wedge
your
in my relationship.
Again, then. I'm never, when you put me on the spot and it's a pointed question, I'm never answering again.
No, because you're trying to disrupt my relationships because your relationships
no,
with your friends are
fugazi. No, we're asking you a question.
Like, Don's supposed to be one of your best friends, and yet every time Kay takes shots at you, Don is right there taking shots at you, too. Yesterday, same exact thing happened.
That show doesn't like me. And the fact Don's that you
guys to?
Allow that to go on really tells the kind of teammates that you are.
Here's what
do you say this morning? The first thing you say, well, people defended me. They defended Chris. So we're good.
Well, no, because, again, we said yesterday when you played the B&H thing, Chris and I were first to say, I think it was a joke.
It was
like, no, that's not a joke. So they went after you.
No. Not a joke. In fact, I spoke with someone involved with that show that said there's no way it was a joke.
But here's where I draw the line, though, because they're besmirching your good name, is they decided to go back years into the softball game as opposed to last year when you were great in the softball game and pretty much said you and Santiago were trash in softball.
Now, hang on a second here, okay? Softball game. Just look at analytics. Look at stats. What did I? I was 3 for 3.
3 for 3.
Okay. Well, Santiago, I don't think, now, Ray, you know I love you, but I apologize in advance for that. I don't think, I've never seen anybody strike out swinging without touching the ball.
He's got wow. a depth perception.
All right. You know what? I've taken abuse on this long enough, and I'm not going to stand for it anymore. Listen, I had a bad day. And that, it has been, and it was over 2 years ago. But every other softball game that I've played into that point, I don't think I went hitless in any one of those games. In fact, I was 2 for 2 in most of them.
You might be Mickey Mantle in the other games. All I'm saying in that one game, you looked like Amir
Rosario. I had a bad day, but that's 2 years ago now, and we keep hearing about it. Listen, I would love to have another shot and show that listen, that's less me than I have shown. But we keep going back to that game, and it, for some reason, seems oddly personal with certain people on the Michael K show. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why they have this vendetta towards you. You're one of the great guys that I know.
But
by the way,
that's
Rick, very well done. Very honestly, beautifully well done. I mean, what he just did, and what was allowed to have happen?
Him deflecting?
Talk about deflection. That was like a Brett Hull deflection. That was a Dave Andrichuk deflection. That was sensational. But let's go back to it. Are you choosing afternoon baseball with Kay, or are you choosing golfing with Greeny?
I'm going to choose afternoon baseball with Michael.
Because you know why, Chris?
Why?
He doesn't want to offend Michael.
He doesn't want to offend Michael.
I love Michael. Why is this so hard for you to understand? Michael gets pressed every single show because they come after us every single show. They take shots at all of us. More Dave and I than Canty. And Michael refuses. Not one time will he say a bad word about me. Your boy Don, whenever he gets a chance, is just piling on Dave Rothenberg. Just piling it on.
Well, that's not very nice.
And that's supposed to be your guy. Don't be mad because I got a guy and you don't have a guy.
Mm. Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
You are the worst of the bad guys. Because I was talking to RJ. Mike T texted him at 6:25 and said he's ready to go now.
Yeah, but he wasn't there when we needed him, when he wanted him. We didn't need him at 6:25. At 6:33, we needed him. We wanted him. He wasn't there.
He probably,
how does that make me
some
a bad guy?
Well, because he probably went to get some X2. Because you just like, you like airing out all our dirty laundry right on the air.
I think people appreciate that.
Which is what I don't understand, though, is for some reason people are still adamant that you're the one people that we're picking on. We pick on Dave.
Because I'm honest. Let's
good morning, guys.
Mike Tenenbaum, we're very disgusted with what happened with you yesterday, but we give you another chance. Good morning.
Well, I guess the feeling is mutual. Maybe my expectations for you are higher than those of yourself, because as Chris Candy Wells knows, that in the NFL, we'd rather be an hour early than a minute late. So I was ready at 7:28 for our 7:30 call, and unfortunately, you guys couldn't make it, but we'll give you another chance as well.
Wow, he's completely turned the tables. He didn't even make excuses.
Coming in hot.
So here's my question for you, Mike. Did you or did you not, Mr. Tenenbaum, have another interview to do during our time period that we would have had you on at 7:38 yesterday morning? Yes or no?
No.
No?
No, I was getting ready for Get Up. They liked you in the seat by 7:40. I told the great RJ that I had a hard out at 7:40. He said you guys were running late and we should reschedule. Now, if you want to pay the fine or send me more X2, we could have that conversation. But, you know, when I go on these other shows, they're there on time. And, you know, again, maybe the transition to the early morning time slot, you know, there's still some growing pains.
I can't believe you've turned into this. Rick, you're going to accept this? You said if he had excuses, you were going to take him to task. I think that this would be appropriate now.
I don't even think he's made excuses, though. He's done the complete opposite of what I thought he was going to do. He's turned the table on you.
On me?
Yeah, now you're bad at your job. I love this. Keep going, Mike T. Get after him.
No. Mike, you had limited time. We want full time from you. You wouldn't do it. You know what? I don't even know who you are anymore. I don't even know who you are anymore, but I know you have a lot of football knowledge. So let me go there with you, because it's one thing I can still count on in this world. All right. What is happening, Mike? This is getting so ugly and so distasteful with Deshaun Watson. These allegations now, this lawyer puts out, his response. I mean, how can he wind up staying in Houston past April 29th? How is that possible?
Yeah, yeah, Dave, obviously that's a very serious allegation, and right now it's an allegation, so you do have to let the process take its course. If I'm Houston, I kind of park him to the side and move forward. I actually think they've done a really good job, guys. I put this out yesterday. You may or may not agree with this, but all things considered, I rather have the Houston situation than Chicago because I'm a believer in Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, so, I mean, what is your take on them signing Tyrod Taylor? Is that, I mean, is this headed to, do you expect, would this signal to you that they're going to trade Deshaun Watson? I'm having a hard time reading the situation at this point.
So, Rick, just like from my point of view and my experience, like just taking it behind the curtain, what I feel like is they could go win games. It takes the pressure off. If I'm Nick Caserio, their GM, or David Culley, I could walk into the locker room and say, hey, we have a winning NFL quarterback. This guy has started 54 games, and I remember going back to the Jets, how much Rex hated going against Tyrod Taylor. And when Rex became the head coach of Buffalo, what's the first thing he wanted to do? Tyrod Taylor's starting quarterback. Anthony Lynn coached him in Buffalo, becomes the head coach of the Chargers. What's the first thing he do? He brings Tyrod Taylor. So what I think this does, guys, it's really smart by Houston. It takes the pressure off because they could go function as an offense. The other thing is they could attract players because they could go win football games. And, again, now I think it takes some of the pressure off of this Deshaun Watson situation.
So, Mike, let me get this straight. Like, spinning this forward, you feel like the Texans would be able to attract players if they don't trade Deshaun Watson and they force him to sit out for a season? You still think they'll be able to attract free agents when we come to 2022 and beyond?
Well, again, I'm not saying they're forcing Deshaun Watson to sit out. What I'm saying is I would strongly encourage Deshaun to sit down and try to work this out because whatever happened between him and Cal McNair still has to be worked out. But I think we have to remember that he signed his extension after they traded DeAndre Hopkins. So whatever happened after that, which was, you know, at this point, 7 short months ago, I would work really hard to try to fix. I would do everything I could not to trade him. And again, if we were having this conversation a week ago, guys, they had no chance to make a first down. Now they could go win football games with Tyrod Taylor. So you could do both things. You could go win games with Tyrod Taylor and then work really hard long-term to try to solve what's going on with Deshaun.
So, Mike, you talked about Tyrod Taylor signing with the Texans. What do you make of the signing of Andy Dalton in Chicago and Ryan Fitzpatrick with the Washington football team?
Yeah, I think Chicago is clearly in the lead for the first pick in the draft next year. You know, the Keaton Slottis quarterback from USC, the Bear rumor should start right away. They are the 32nd team in pro football. You know, you go back a year ago where they trade a fourth-round pick and gave $21 million guaranteed to Nick Foles. Now they're going to go with Andy Dalton. I just don't think they have much of a chance. I think Fitzpatrick to Washington, they are clearly the best team in the NFC East. They're better than Dallas because Dallas is so poor on defense. Now, they did get Dan Quinn. I think he'll make a big difference. But when you look at that front seven and the job Ron Rivera's done with Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think they're the favorite in the East.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. You're saying so many things that I'm shocked by. I can't believe you think that Chicago is going to have the number one pick in the draft next year?
Dave, which offense in the NFL is worse than the Chicago Bears? Look, Trevor Lawrence will be better in Jacksonville. I think Pittsburgh will be one of the five worst because Roethlisberger is basically at the end. But I can't think of an offense that's worse than Chicago. I think Drew Lock, maybe, but you know they have good young skill players. And I think the Bears have a good defense, but there's no opposing defensive coordinator that's not going to throw the kitchen sink at Dalton and think that he's going to be able to get the ball down the field consistently. So of the 32 quarterback situations, I would put them 32.
I don't disagree with that. I guarantee you, Mike, I promise you, and I would even be willing to make some kind of a friendly wager with you here, there is no way the Bears have the worst record in the NFL. No chance.
I'm happy to have that conversation. Who's better? Like, who are they better than? When you look at, I can't find an offense on paper. Detroit with Goff, I think it's going to be better. I just can't find an offense. And even the Jets are better. Look, we don't know who their quarterback's going to be, but I would take Sam Darnold or I would take Wilson from BYU over Andy Dalton. I just don't think Andy Dalton's an NFL starter anymore.
But it feels like it's always the same thing with the Bears. Doesn't it always, like they're not good, they don't have much of a quarterback, and they win 8 or 9 games every single year. I don't know. We'll see. I would be willing to put something up at stake for that, though. Absolutely.
Is it something that you would pay on time, or would you be late paying the bet? I'm just curious about that.
You know what? I always would have time for you. I'm not someone who pigeonholes you into like an eight minute window, Tenenbaum. All right, I didn't realize we were going here.
I think the only thing you could do, Dave, is if you lose, if Tannenbaum's right, then you have to release the video.
I'm not releasing the video.
You have to release the video.
Dave. Mike, how about a nice charitable donation to the winner's charity of choice?
I love it. That's great. And maybe, like, you know, a year's supply of X2 are all natural, healthy energy drinks.
You're on the board. You should get all you need now.
Oh, yeah, I do, but I want to make sure you do as well.
All right. I'll take it. I'll absolutely take it.
All right, Mike, enough with the Bears talk for a second. How do you feel like Joe Douglas did in the first couple days here with free agency?
You know, I would give it a solid B. You know, I think Carl Larson is a good pass rusher guy. I don't think he's an elite difference maker, but, you know, sometimes in free agency, you got to be good before you're great. Corey Davis, I think, was the right player at the right price. I don't think they overpaid. And, you know, let's face it, guys, not many opposing teams are going to have corners that can match up with Mims and Davis on the outside. So that's progress. Jared Davis is just okay. He's speed deficient, but he's tough. He's smart. So I would give him a solid B.
Mike, projecting this thing out with the Jets in the landscape of the AFC East, where would you rank them in the division? Are they clearly the worst team, or do you feel like they have more upside than people are giving them credit for?
Well, Chris, if we could just give that a grade of incomplete until after the draft, but I think New England's closed the gap on Buffalo. You know, Miami has the third pick to their credit, so they'll get an impact player. So on paper, I'd say they're fourth, but I'm a huge Zach Wilson fan. I think he has a chance to be really, really special when you really study him, and they could come out of this arguably with maybe a guy that could be as good as Josh Allen.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So let's turn our attention to the Giants for a moment. People are very upset. They've done very little. They lose their best offensive lineman. They lose Dalvin Tomlinson. They've added very little so far in free agency. They've redone this deal with Leonard Williams. Do you think they're going to wind up with Galladay? And B, are you unimpressed with what Gettleman has done so far?
Yeah, and Dave, I think we just got to be patient. You know, technically free agency starts today, so we just got to, you know, let's have that conversation maybe in a week or two. But look, if they come out of this with Kenny Galladay, I think this conversation's different. Leonard Williams played really well last year. For a guy his size to play inside, to have the production he did, to get him done, we got to give him credit. I do like Tomlinson, but, you know, you can't pay him all at that position. And, look, Zeitler, in my opinion, his best days are behind him. Lemieux's a guy that I think could start and they can win with. And don't forget, they're going to get Soldier back, so maybe the offensive line isn't as bad as maybe it looks today.
Mike, what are your feelings on this? So, we all agree on this show that one of the most important things the Giants can do this season is figure out whether or not Daniel Jones is their franchise guy moving forward. Obviously, this year's draft is deep with the wide receiver position. Would you, as a GM, rather have a veteran wide receiver like Kenny Galladay to put with Daniel Jones, or would you be okay with whoever it ends up being, a Jaylen Waddle with the 11th pick? Which is more beneficial to Daniel Jones?
Yeah, I think in Jones' third year, I'd like to have the veteran guy. And here's why, Rick. They could go work out for 3 months together, you know, starting next week. And I think Daniel Jones has the character and the leadership to go find guys like, hey, Kenny Galladay, Evan Ingram, we're going to go set up shop wherever, and we're going to work hard every day. And I think as a third-year guy, you want to put him in charge of an offense with guys he could grow with. And because Galladay's still young, that could be, hopefully for the Giants, you know, a 5 to 7 year run together.
Mike, how big is the gap between Kenny Galladay and other wide receivers in this free agent class, like Will Fuller and Juju Smith-Schuster, T.Y. Hilton, Curtis Samuel, and others?
I think it's pretty big for a couple of reasons. He's big, he's athletic, he can score touchdowns in the red zone. If you told me William Fuller was available for 16 games, I'm all aboard, but his durability is an issue. Smith-Schuster, guys, 97 catches, but under 9 yards a catch, not good enough. It's just, you know, the field gets compressed. So, to me, Galladay is a lot better because he's big and he can run. So, he's clearly the number one guy for me. And I was a little surprised, to be candid, that Detroit signs Terrell Williams and doesn't franchise Galladay. That did not make sense to me.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Mike, I know you have a lot of other obligations. Do you have time for another question or two, or do you need to go do another hit of radio or TV?
know, Dave, as long as you don't ask me about flatulence or rectal thermometers, I have all the time in the world for you.
I greatly appreciate that. Sam Darnold, I mean, with all these quarterbacks going all over the place, is his value lessening, or do you think if and when the Jets decide to trade him, he still has real value there?
Yeah, Dave, I totally agree, and I think that's where, like, Detroit deserves so much credit. You know, they have a new young GM. I think he's done a great job in terms of moving on from Stafford as quickly as possible. He got 2-1s, and I think every day that the Jets hold on to Darnold, his value goes down. And to me, they are so fortunate that Zach Wilson is sitting right there. You know, Chris Sims, a very respected quarterback evaluator, actually thinks Wilson is better than Trevor Lawrence. I don't, but that just shows you that his upside. And every day you hold on to Darnold, his value is only going to go down a little bit.
So now, I mean, again, I couldn't imagine being a Chicago Bears fan, just having we're buying Russell Wilson jerseys, and all of a sudden they're stuck with Andy Dalton, who you obviously have a thing for redheads. You don't like redheads. But is that does that close the door, in your opinion, on the whole Russell Wilson being traded conversation?
You know, Rick, I've said this for weeks. I think he's traded next year. I just don't think Seattle can sit there and take a $39 million cap charge and no Russell Wilson this year with the cap going down. With that said, I think it's likely he's gone next year, but I think Chicago will have a new head coach and GM by then.
Mike, Drew Brees officially retiring. It seems like it's going to be a competition between Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill to be the starting quarterback for the Saints. Who do you think the guy is for Sean Payton moving forward?
Yeah, this is, to me, very ironic. Drew Brees was 27 years old when he signed with the Saints. That's the same age as Jameis Winston, who, by the way, guys, has started 70 games already in his career. Taysom Hill's a good gadget player, but the problem with Taysom Hill, if you go back to Tim Tebow, very similar. They're stiff athletes, and why that's consequential is they can't make people miss. They're contact players, and therefore they're not – you can't rely on them for a full season. You know, Taysom Hill's been hurt a number of times. Jameis Winston has a huge ceiling. I love what he did a year ago. He invested in his future. And to me, he is clearly the starter. Let Taysom Hill be Taysom Hill. And hopefully Winston goes on and has a great career.
Mike, we appreciate the extended time you gave us this morning. In my mind, you have another one, Rick?
Yeah, I got another
fingers
one.
Here.
Well, because Mike is so good.
Let me see how this works now. You text me, I'm done. I wrap it, and now you have more questions. Continue along.
Well, because sometimes I forget. You know how it is. Sometimes I forget. Right. Mike, last one. And I promise this is the last one unless you say something so amazing that I have to have a follow-up. So we talked about Kenny Golladay, the free agent wide receivers. In your mind, is there any chance he's not a free agent, he's currently on the Browns, that Odell Beckham Jr. gets dealt?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. We've talked about that. I wouldn't rule it out. You know, if I'm sitting there, Andrew Berry, the GM of the Browns, who's done a great job so far, a bright young guy in this business that led Cleveland with Kevin Stefanski to the playoffs, I would trade him. You know, they won a playoff game without him. They could come out of that with like 2-2s and build around some of these younger receivers, Higgins, Donovan Peoples-Jones, which is a sixth-round pick from Michigan. I think they got to consider it. And, you know, OBJ has to realize, you know, he may not be the same player he once was.
Rick, you have anything else? I know Mike has an appearance on Sit Down coming up.
No, that was a fantastic, fantastic answer.
All right. Mike, we appreciate you. I'll think of the wager on the Bears having the worst record in football, and we'll get to that at some point soon.
And gentlemen, I leave in peace. I look forward to a prompt on-time call next Tuesday morning. Have a beautiful week, and as always, it's great to be with you.
Thank you. That, of course, is the wonderful and talented and sarcastic and dry this morning, Mike Tenenbaum.
Good. No, he wasn't dry. He was coming after you. He was at your neck, Dave.
Well, he's wrong.
No, I'm just telling you, he wasn't dry.
Dave's got plenty
of. You can't characterize it like that.
Dave's got plenty of protection in the neck region.
I'm not fat. I had people, when I sent that in my video yesterday, people saying, how much weight have you lost? I look unbelievable. And for some reason, it's difficult for you to deal with that. I was fat at one point. I don't know why it's so hard for you to admit that I have turned things around and I'm a better version of myself.
You're a better looking version of yourself. I would agree with that. You're still a bad
guy. I was fat at one point. What, you just could play that over and over?
Yes. Santiago, you are on Santiago's on hit list right now.
On a Wednesday, not a Thursday. Guests on DCRP are via the Goodyear hotline. And Jets Nation, get your 2021 season tickets today and get back to live football at MetLife Stadium this season. You'll lock in the best seats and pricing to see the green and white at every game. Plus, you'll get great benefits, including free food, beverage, and merchandise credit. Get back to football today at nyjets.com/tickets or call 1-800-469-JETS. Stump Rothenberg, 800-919-3776. Before we go there, though, I can't believe the two of you. Everyone was all hot and bothered that Tenenbaum blew us off yesterday. And now today you allow him to take shots at me like that? I'm a man on an island.
I respect what Mike T did. I mean, he caught me off guard. I thought he was going to come in and apologize. This is what happened. No, he went on the offensive. I loved it.
When have we ever had him for 7 minutes? When? Answer me that.
Probably never.
Okay, so he told RJ he had till 7:38. How do you let that as an excuse? We called him at 7:33. If we had called him at 7:30, he still wouldn't have had enough time for us.
Well, no, but it's some people on the show, I mean, I want to point fingers, but decide, like, you know, 2 minutes late for break, they want to play sound of Russell Wilson and tease it, and then we're still yet 52 minutes into the 6 o'clock hour, talked about the Russell Wilson clip that you teased.
I didn't tease a Russell Wilson clip. We played the clip, you fool.
Yeah, going into break, we thought it was a tease,
we played
but it wasn't,
the clip.
And then we didn't even talk about it afterwards.
We played the clip.
The clip. For what reason?
You know what? You're a bad guy, and I'll tell you why.
That's a great
I get a text
question,
from you.
Rico. Great question.
I get a text from you. Okay, I'm done with Mike Tenenbaum. And then I say, Mike, thanks so much. Hang on, I have another one. What are you doing?
Well, listen, that's a good question. He said that was a great question.
I'm not questioning how good or not the question was. You text me, I'm done. And then I'm like, all right, Mike, thanks for joining us. Hang on. You're flailing away on the Zoom. Hang on. I have another question. Oh, what the hell are you doing?
Well, in that moment, I thought I was done. I mean, you've been on the toilet before. You're like, oh, that's it. And then like, nope, hold on.
You
had to empty the chamber.
Wow. I just like the record would show that I wasn't a part of you guys berating Mike Tenenbaum for not being able to join our show yesterday.
He's like Switzerland.
I just want the record to reflect that I was not one of the people on there doing that.
All right, let's go. It's time for a little Stump Rothenberg.
He's confident.
I have so much knowledge.
He's arrogant.
I'm a big star, you know.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You don't think I'm smart.
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
All right, let's go. Let's start out where we always start out and bring on Andy and Merrick. Good morning, Andy and Merrick.
Good morning, DCR. What's up, Drive Time?
We are doing well, although we're fighting a lot today. But good morning, Andy.
I hear. Well, I have a hoops question to bring it back to the sports realm. UCLA is in the play-in game tomorrow and a legendary basketball program. There have been four Bruins with more than 2,000 career points. Can you name three of them?
Well, here's the beauty. I do believe that Don McLean has the most points ever in UCLA history, which is always interesting to me. I think Jason Capono of Miami Heat fame is also on said list.
Tied for third.
Now, Lou Alcindor would be one if he played for 4 years but did not because freshmen were not eligible. So I believe he's on the list as well. And just to complete the 4-for-4 sweep, let's also go with one. Cheryl Miller's little brother, one Reggie Miller.
You are correct, my friend. Stay healthy, boys.
Thank you, Andy. I mean, how good was that?
Very impressive, Dave. Very impressive.
Rick, do you have a question you'd like to throw out?
I have multiple questions.
All right, why don't you go ahead and throw one out?
All right, here we go. Who are the only two athletes in history to play in a Super Bowl and the NCAA Final Four?
Oh. Aminu Muhammad, baby. Was it Aminu?
It was not.
It was not. Super Bowl and Final Four. It's a good question.
This is a terrific question.
Yeah, no, this is a because it's timely. Chris, did Julius Peppers play in the Super Bowl with the Bears or with the Panthers?
No.
He did not.
I don't think so.
Because I would have said... And Tony Gonzalez... No, he didn't go to... I thought Julius Peppers was on that list. I think Peppers is one.
Yeah, Peppers, yeah.
Peppers is right. Okay. Are you locking me in there, or are you saying that I'm, in fact, correct?
Julius Peppers is one of the two, yes.
All right. I'm a big fan of Oprah. Antonio Gates didn't go to the Final Four. He's a good college basketball player. And I don't. Tony Gonzalez didn't go to the Final Four either. Jimmy Graham? No. I don't know that I know the other one.
Quarterback. Former quarterback.
How about this? How about Donovan McNabb?
That is correct.
Oh!
Nice that job, is man. Correct.
Oh, God! How about that? Yeah! How about that?
Nicely
that
was nice. Done, Dave.
That was nice.
Nicely all right. done.
Do we go with one more here?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. It'll put us over time, though. Is that okay
no,
with
that's
you?
Fine. That's
okay.
fine.
All right. Let's go to Joe in Scotch Plains. Good morning, Joe. You are on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, guys. I'm a huge fan. I have a hockey question for you, Dave.
Oh, great.
There have been three players in NHL history to record 100 or more assists in a single season. Can you name them?
Well, it's got, I mean Rick, it's got to be Gretzky, right?
Yeah.
Gretzky actually did it 11 times in a row.
11 times in a row, my God.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Let's say, what if, did Bobby Orr ever do it?
Yeah.
That's a yes?
Yeah. Right. That was the one that surprised me, honestly.
I don't know.
Well, don't forget, too. I mean, you start when people ask greatest hockey player of all time, there will be people that make the argument that Bobby Orr should be mentioned in that.
Great, all time great. But
all time great.
I mean, Wayne Gretzky, the stats and numbers are insane. And the last one I would say would be Mario Lemieux.
That is correct.
He's a machine.
Yeah.
He's a machine.
And that, my friends, is that. 3-0.
He's so proud of himself.
Oh, I don't care what happened to the 7 o'clock hour. My day is now made. I couldn't really. Honestly, I could not be happier.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.